Rafael Borja teleconference with iAdvise for Monday, March 11th, 2013 at 10 a.m. Central Time. Good morning. My name is Jeff, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Davivienda Fourth Quarter 2012 Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session, and if you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star and then one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the star key followed by two. Thank you. I will now turn the conference over to Rafael Borja of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jeff, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Davivienda's Fourth Quarter 2012 Earnings Conference Call. Today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. Joining us today from Bogota, Colombia are Mr. Efraín Forero Fonseca, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Javier Suarez Esparragosa, Executive VP Financial Risk. They will be discussing the results per the press release distributed last week. If you have not yet received a copy of the earnings report, please visit www.davivienda.com on the Investor Relations section, where there is also a webcast presentation to accompany the discussion during this call. If you need any assistance, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that any forward-looking statements made today by Davivienda's management are subject to various conditions and may differ materially. These conditions are outlined in the last page of the company's press release in the disclaimer, and we ask that you refer to it for guidance. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Efraín Forero, Chief Executive Officer, who will begin the presentation. Mr. Forero, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning. It's really a pleasure to be here with you today in this call conference. And we are going to go through the main results of Davivienda during the last quarter of the year 2012. I will speak about some of the main results, and Mr. Javier Suarez is going to speak with you about the fourth quarter figures and different numbers of the results with Central America operation and without the Central America operation. And during the months of November and December, Davivienda finally made the closing of the operation in Central America in Costa Rica in November 23, in El Salvador in November 30, and in Honduras in December 7th. We made the payment, and we prepared in the launch of our brand in those countries, and we decided as well to do so in Panama, in where we have a Bancafé. And we changed the name and the brand in Panama as well. So we now, at that time, we had the chance to launch the brand that was really a success. Now it's a brand awareness of the name of Davivienda. On the other hand, we started managing the operation in those countries. We now have 16.5% of Davivienda assets in those countries. And we found a very willing team of about 3,800 people that are really very well trained and are now managing the bank, that are doing really very well. The reception and the acceptance of the customers of the operation that we made is being really very good. We feel very confident about what we are going to do in those countries and the new banks that now are we managing in those countries. All the job that was done before the operation was really in place. Everything was fine. The operation is doing very well. The customer hasn't had any problem because of the change. And as I mentioned before, we feel that really we have a very good acceptance of our bank, our name, our brand, and everything is going really very well. A second result that we want to point out is about DaviPlata. We participated in a bidding process to administer, to manage a subsidy plan that the government in Colombia has and that is going to cover about 1 million families in Colombia. We are going to pay through the DaviPlata network, that is a mobile, it's an electronic wallet with a mobile platform. We are going to pay more than 1 million subsidies in the country. It's going to be paid in 380 different small towns and big cities. And that will convert DaviPlata into the third largest electronic wallet in the world and the first in Latin America. With the customers that we already have, we believe that in June we will have about 1.8 million people that is using the electronic wallet in Colombia. This is really very interesting, as we foresee this as almost any bank within Davivienda that is going to be the bank that is going to serve those customers that belong to what is called the base of the pyramid. And that is a program that will help all the country to work with this inclusion program, financial inclusion program. But at the same time, will allow Davivienda to serve those customers, maybe first with these transactional services, but then with maybe micro insurance and micro saving programs for those persons. In February of this year, we had the pleasure of announcing with Corredores Asociados, which is one of the brokerage firms in Colombia, more respected, an agreement to buy 100% of their shares. The operation is going to be, the price of the operation is going to be 120,000 million pesos. The firm is a firm that is it's been working for more than 35 years in the Colombian market. It has an operation in Panama as well. In December 2012, the equity was 58 billion and the net income was about 7 billion pesos. It has about 26,000 very good customers, and it has also a team of employees very well trained and with very good reputation. They are about 290 people in the brokerage firm. We have been working with them for many, many years, and we know the people and the shareholders and the directors of the firm very well, and it counts a lot for us because they really share principles and value with the Davivienda, and that allow us to make the closing of the deal with a lot of confidence about what we are going to be willing to do with the firm, and mainly to take advantage of what we might do now, mainly in the asset management area of the bank, both in Colombia and Central America. We had the chance, we are going to have the main directors and shareholders, Mauricio Botero and Luis Fernando Botero, with us working through the transition and helping us in the management of the business, and mainly in keeping and having new customers that are very willing to do and helping us a lot in this process. The process is going to be presented to the authorization of the Superintendencia Bancaria in Colombia, and maybe it will take about 3 to 6 months to have this approval. If we have in mind what are the resources that our asset management actually have through the trust company and through the broker, Davi Valores, we are actually managing about 15 trillion pesos, and we are going to go to 24.4 trillion pesos. Those are divided in and 10.3 trillion of mainly funds, and 9.4 of about the customs that we are having with the shares and different kind of securities, and 4.6 trillion of other type of assets. So this is an operation that we feel that it's going to be very important for the process of having in Colombia a very more stronger of asset management abilities, more abilities to have a better personal retail banking as well as our corporate bank. Other relevant aspect that we want to mention is the quarter was mainly was a very good quarter, very active quarter in terms of mortgages and construction. Colombian government is working to build 100,000 new homes that are going to be given to the poorest people in Colombia by free. So we are working with them very, very hard, very closely, and actually we believe that we are going to fund about, or we're going to make the loans to the builders of about 25,000 houses. At the same time, we are actually the first player in mortgages in the country. In terms of social housing, low-income housing, we have an actually a share of 38.8%. At the same time, the mortgage portfolio, or the mortgage, grows at the rate of 26.5. That is a very important rate in the year. Other business that is going very well, and in the last quarter grew very steadily, was the small and medium business. The portfolio grew 15.7% in annually basis. We are very glad that our debt issues were very active during this quarter. In February 2013, we placed a local bond of 500 billion, and the demand was about 1.4 trillion pesos. At the same time, in January 2013 of this year, we placed 500 million in a bond that has a demand of 5.1 billion. It got a very good acceptance, and the terms and conditions, the rates and the maturity was really very, very good, making a milestone for Colombian for financial issues. Other important things that happened during the last quarter was the merge of our two trust companies. We had Fidu Cafe and Fidu Vivienda that now become one, the new trust company that is going to be called Fidu Vivienda, that makes the trust the seventh largest in Colombia with about 15 trillion assets under management. On the other hand, in our social commitment, I would like to mention two special projects that we are working very hard in. One is related with the education process that we want to make to all the customers and the Colombians. We are working very hard in different areas in this aspect. But in this quarter, we launched a new portal in the web of Davivienda, and it is really very very nice and very easily to follow, and it has a very good acceptance, and the purpose of this is to have a new tool to go through to have the ability to get to more Colombians, and so that they can know and educate about the different aspects of saving, loans, and different aspects in the different things that banks done for the customers. Excuse me. And on the other hand, we have a social community new offices in those very little towns in Colombia that are like a pilot project that we have in Anserma and Pacho, that are little towns in the country in which the bank is working, is doing business, and now we want to have the purpose of offering to the community the chance to use these facilities to have different assets for art exhibition and for use of different computers and internet and for the leisure of the children and youth, so that they can have a better and a very good place to have a different chance of have access to those assets that we believe are very important for those little towns that usually they don't have the chance to do in other places in their town. So this is a pilot project that we expect to be willing to, in the coming year, to have at least in 50 different cities in Colombia, so that we have now a close commitment with the communities in which we are working. Those are the main events that we wanted to mention. The results of the bank are very good. We did this operation that are really relevant for the evolution of the different strategies of the bank during the year 2012. I am very glad that also the result, the financial results are going very well. And I would like now to introduce Mr. Javier Suarez to let him to speak to with you about the fourth quarter results.
Good morning. Before we enter into the financial results in a quarter in which we will highlight the very good earnings result of Davivienda for last year, we wanted to take some time in slide 12 to talk about the process that we have been following in terms of the consolidation of the results with the Central American operations. As you know, we have completed the transaction with HSBC for the acquisition of the three operations. The transactions were completed in November of last year, two of them in November and the other one in the beginning of December. So for financial reporting purposes, we had to make some adjustments in the consolidated financial statements of Davivienda, and we want to walk you through the process that we have followed. We have the financial statements of Davivienda, consolidated financial statements of Davivienda bring us the results of the first semester of last year. To those results, we add the financial statements of the second half of the year to come up with the full year for Davivienda without Central America. Then we add the financial statements of the three countries for the 3 years three countries on the second half of the year. That will be from July to December of last year. And then, since the acquisition was performed by the end of November, we have to deduct the results of the three countries from July to November. So actually, this is it's a little bit complex, the accounting technique. So you will see in the consolidated financials, you will see that we are incorporating full year for the Davivienda, the second half of the year for the three countries in the top lines of the financial statement, and then in the profit and loss account, there's a deduction at the end of the profit and loss account under the non-operational income, in which we are subtracting the results of the three countries from July to November, so as to only have the December profits as part of the consolidated financials. That's the process that we follow. So when you go into the financials, you will see that the top lines will include the months from July to November. Going into the results for the quarter, first we will go to the numbers without incorporating Central America, as to facilitate for you the comparison of the results of Davivienda on a standalone basis. And then after that, we will incorporate some slides with the results consolidated with Central America. In the assets on slide 13, we have a growth of 11.7% on the asset side, going from 36.7 trillion Colombian pesos to 40.9. In the quarter to quarter growth, we have 6.2%. The system grew at a high rate at 14.3%. We will go into more detail explaining why our growth was below the system growth. Of significance, the growth in our loan portfolio as well as the investment portfolio that grows from 4.8 trillion pesos of last year to 6.2 at the end of 2012. Going to slide 14, we have the loan portfolio. There's a growth also of 11.2% on a year-to-year basis and 2.2% on last quarter. On the table to your right, we have the commercial portfolio growing at an 8.4%. This growth has been lower than the system that grew at 13.3%. The growth of the commercial loans was a healthy growth, but at the end of the year we have prepayments of two significant transactions, two balloon loans that we had, and that made our growth rate for the end of the year come down to 8.4%. The consumer loans, we've been increasing the growth rate during the last year. We began at a 4% rate, then we moved up to 6%, and at the end of the year, we ended up with 8.1%. From previous earnings calls, we discussed that we were in the process of changing some of the underwriting policies for the consumer loan portfolio. We have completed that process, so we are now once again looking to have a higher rate of growth for the year to come. So for the last year, our growth at the end of the year was 8.1%. On the mortgage portfolio, we have 26% growth, which is a very good percentage. It's above the system that grew at 24% rate. Overall, our loan portfolio grows at 11.2%. Moving to the next slide, slide 15, on the funding side, we also grew at 11.7%. The growth of the funding was in line with our expectations for the deposit side, and we also have a significant growth on the bonds that were issued, that went from 3.7 trillion pesos to 5.1. This includes the transactions mentioned before that gave us not only the funding to complete the acquisition of Central America, but also in the case of the subordinated bonds, they were part of the Tier 2 capital that was needed to complete also the acquisition. Going to slide 16, on results of the bank, at the right-hand side, in the cumulative results, there's a very good growth at 18.6% that goes from 630 billion pesos to 747 billion pesos. It's worth noting that this very good growth rate at 18.6% is the mix of the financial margin growing at a 10.1%, and at the same time operating expenses being lower at 4.7%. So the combination of these two factors, as well as a very good result on some non operating items that grew at 39.5%. Give us a growth of 18.6% in terms of profits. In the following slide 17, we have the financial margin. Financial margin was stable at a 7.8% rate. That was the same NIM that we had in year 2011. If we compute the the NIM without the effect of Central America, it would be the same 7.8%. Interest income grew at 19% and investment income at 52%. Financial expenses grew at 39%. Of course, this is in absolute values is a smaller amount, but because of the significant part of our deposits are non-interesting bearing accounts, the basis is a low basis that explains the high 39% percentage. Going to the next slide, slide 18, in expenses, we are on track with our plan. At the bottom of the slide, we see that our efficiency rate that went down from 50.9% to 48.7% without Central America. And if we include the Central American operations and take away some of the extraordinary expenses, we would have been at 48.4%. So basically we're about 250 basis points lower in efficiency. That was part of the plan. We believe that we will be focusing on improving the efficiency of the bank, and that's a key component of the strategy for this year and the coming years. On the expenses and on a community basis, you can see that the operating expenses grew at 7.3%, which is lower than our margin. Our margin grew higher than 10%. So we are making the bank more efficient. Also, in terms of personal expenses, there's a growth of 15.3%. This growth is explained by two factors. One of them is that we have increased the size of our bank in terms of personnel due to investment in some lines in which we believe there's a very interesting feature, such as David Plata and our asset management operations. Those are lines in which we believe we need to have a larger number of people in our team. And also, this year, 2012 was the year in which the collective bargaining process was completed, and there's a special payment that is done on a biannual basis, and it was made in 2012. It won't be made in 2013. So, for comparative purposes, 2011 had a 584 billion pesos of personal expenses that went up to 674. Part of that is this extraordinary expense that was paid as part of the collective bargaining process. There's also a line in the amortization and depreciation and goodwill that is decreasing at a 35% rate. That's explained by the fact that the goodwill that we created for the acquisition of Bank Superior in 2006 has fully been amortized in 2011. In 2012, we didn't have to amortize this goodwill, so there's a reduction on the amount of amortization that we are having for 2012. Now let's move into the effects of the Central America consolidation process. First, in terms of assets, in slide 20, the growth of the assets of the bank without considering Central America would have been 11.7%. Once we incorporate the assets that come from the Central American operation, it will go up to 28.5%, with around 6.2 trillion pesos of additional assets coming from El Salvador, Costa Rica, and Honduras. In terms of the return on assets, the return on assets has been coming up from 1.89% on 2011 to 1.98% by September before the consolidation of the Central American operations. Without Central America, the return on assets would have gone up to 2.22%. It comes down to 1.78% by the end of 2012 because of some integration expenses, as well as some one-time provisions that we have to make that we will explain in detail later. Excluding these extraordinary expenses, our return on assets would have been 2.2%, including the Central American operation, which is a significant improvement from previous years. Going to the size of the loan portfolio, grows at a 28.3% rate when including the Central American loan portfolio, which is at 4.6 trillion pesos, going up to 34.4 trillion pesos. In the next slide, slide 22, we have some details on the different portfolios, and in the overall picture, the growth rates go up to 24.5% in commercial, 21.9% in consumer, and 54.4% in mortgages. You have to consider also that on a standalone basis, Davivienda was already growing at a 26.6% rate. So overall, we can see that there's a balanced growth in the portfolios of the three lines of businesses. In all of them, the Central American operations imply a boost in the size of our portfolios. Moving to slide 23, in terms of the quality of the portfolio, the red line at the bottom of the graph shows by September we were at 1.59% in the quality loan index, with going slightly up at 1.63 by the end of the year. If we incorporate the Central American operations, it will go a little bit higher to 1.83%. And in terms of coverage, our coverage by the end of the year is at 295% of the loan portfolio that is not performing. If you include the Central America operations and the loan provisions, it would go down to 258.4%. These slight changes in the quality as well as coverage by including Central America are explained by the fact that the loan portfolios in Central America are loan portfolios that have higher margins and therefore are able to accept a little bit higher quality indexes, and by the fact that the percentage of loans that have that are covered with mortgages or other types of guarantees is higher in Central America. So actually, we don't need a loan provision as high for the Central American portfolios as we do for the Colombian ones. And that explains why the coverage goes from 295 to 258%. The next slide has some detail on a line-by-line business. In the commercial line, our quality on a standalone basis without including Central America goes from 0.82 to 0.84%, which is in line with our plans. That's okay. It goes a little bit up with Central America to 1.16% for the recent mentions in terms of the quality of the guarantees that these loans have. In the consumer book, our quality goes a little bit up to 2.63, and it's basically the same level when including Central America. And in the mortgage portfolio, our quality goes down to 2.13. And it goes back up to 2.40% when we include the Central American loans. In terms of quality of the Central American loans, at the top right-hand side of the slide, we see commercial with 3.32%, consumer with 2.37%, and mortgages with 3.6%. Coverage is lower for the reasons mentioned before, but mostly because of the guarantees, the mortgage guarantees that these loan portfolios have, particularly in the commercial lines of business. Going to slide 25 with the funding sources, there's our funding sources go from 33.8 trillion to 39.6, close to 40 trillion pesos, and there's an increase of 30.8% increase in funding sources over the last 12 months. In next slide, in slide 26, we have the solvency of the bank. This solvency is based on the existing regulation. I'll have some comments about the new regulations and what the levels will be once this new regulation is in force. But as for now, we have a solvency level that was at 14.4% by December of 2011. It goes up to 18.3% by retaining earnings as well as the issuance of subordinated bonds in preparation to the acquisition of the Central American assets. And then by the end of last year, solvency goes down to 15.2% by consolidating with Central America. These numbers will change once the new regulation comes into effect. It will be the regulation will be in effect in August, and some of the equity lines that are part of the T1 will not be allowed as part of T1, such as some of the occasional reserves that we have in our equity, as well as some of the capital gains in some of our assets. So we will have to move some of these reserves that are reserves, occasional reserves. Those reserves will be moved to legal reserves or to a capital account, and with that movement, with the new regulation in place, our T1 number will be around 7%. We believe that's okay, considering the minimum requirement of 4.5%. So that's in line with our internal targets being at a level of 7%. In terms of Tier 1 plus Tier 2, the requirement will be 9%, and we expect to be close to 11%, probably a little bit above 11% with the new regulation in place. So basically, we feel that the solvency of the bank has been higher than what we needed for the last 12 months in preparation for the acquisition of Central America. Once the Central America operation and the new regulation come into place, we will be at a level of solvency that we believe adequate for the bank. Just to reiterate, it'll be around 7% for T1. And around 11% for T1 plus T2 requirements. Moving to slide 27, we have an analysis of the net income of the bank. Let's start with the numbers from 2011. We had 630 billion pesos of profit that went up 18.6%. to 747 billion pesos without considering the Central American operations. Once you consider the Central American operations, it'll go up to 780 billion pesos, but we have a process and we have to adjust the accounting of these operations to the Colombian Superintendency standard, and that implies a one-time charge of $28 million for loan losses, and a one-time charge also of around $11 million for other assets that have to be impaired. So that explains the largest amount of the 85 billion pesos that are being subtracted from the net income of the bank. So this brings the profits of the bank down to 696 billion pesos. So this is a transition year in which we are not getting the benefits of the profits of the banks of Central America. We only are including the month of December. But at the same time, we are also having the extraordinary expenses from the acquisition, as well as these accounting charges for loan loss provisions and the impairment of some assets to bring these statements to the Colombian standard. So for the coming years, we would be expecting to have the 12-month results of the Central American operations, and these one-time charges, of course, will not be recurring. So we expect a significantly different picture for this year. You can see that in terms of return on equity, we are coming from 15.1% down to 14.6% without considering Central America. This is in part explained by the fact that we increased the equity of the bank by the end of 2011 in preparation for the acquisition of Central America. So for 11 months of the year, we had an excess equity without having the benefits of the assets that we were incorporating into the operation of the bank. If we include the Central American operation and the expenses and the extraordinary expenses that I just mentioned, our return on equity will go down to 13.6%. But if we adjust this number by excluding these one-time charges in terms of portfolio provisions as well as the depreciation of fixed assets, the return on equity goes back up to 14.7%. In slide 28, we have a slide that shows the results for the Central American operations, and that is as follows. First, we have the accumulated net income for 2012, that's the 12-month period. You see there's a loss in Grupo Elismo in Costa Rica, a $38 million loss. This loss is not part of the operational results of the bank. This is part of amortization of the goodwill that was in Grupo Elismo. This amortization took place before our acquisition, so it's not impacting our results. This amortization had to be made because it was part of the goodwill that was formed with the acquisitions that were prior to our acquisition. So this goodwill amortization is a number in about $50 million. So if you take away this $50 million special amortization, the banks in Central America, the total results of the banks would be close to $40 million. This $40 million for the Central American operation is in line with our expectations for this last year. Just to remind you, in 2011, the results of the operations of these three banks and the insurance company were close to $20 million, a little bit more than $20 million. It has gone up to $40 million, excluding these extraordinary accounting charges. And the change is explained by a lowering in expenses in these banks, as well as some IT projects that were being phased in 2011 that, due to the acquisition process, were not needed anymore. So these numbers are in line with the expectations that we had when we acquired these operations. The results for December are these 18.8 net income results that have some of the effect of these accounting charges. But for an understanding of the effect of these operations, the effect is quite small because it's just in the month of December. And the results on a standalone basis of this bank without non-recurring charges were close to $40 million. These are the numbers that we had prepared to share with you. So after this, we would like to open the session to question and answers.
Thank you. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, press the star key followed by the one key. That's star one on your touchtone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they're received, and if at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star followed by two. Again, that's star one to pose a question on your touchtone phone now. Our first question comes from Alonzo Aramburu from BTG Pactual.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the call. I have two questions. The first one is on the NIM. It looks like the NIM contracted slightly in the fourth quarter relative to the third quarter. Can you give us a sense of what you expect for 2013, given the lower interest rates in Colombia? And my second question is regarding Central America. You mentioned the $40 million net income for 2012. What is your expectation for 2013?
In terms of NIM, our expectations are basically we have a flat NIM, the 7.8% that we are experiencing. We believe that we will be maintaining this same level for this year. Interest rates have come down on the short end of the interest rate curve. We are lowering some of the interest rate on our assets, but also on the funding side. So at the end of the day, we expect NIM to be relatively flat at 7.8%. In terms of our operations in Central America, we expect them to grow in terms of profit, to grow from this $40 million level. Although this is a transition year also, we have done a lot of we've had a lot of expenses last year in terms of IT investments as well as branding. Some of the branding will carry over to this year. We'll have some extraordinary expenses in branding for 2013. But overall, we expect the banks to increase their profits on a moderate way. We don't expect them to go very much above the $40 million that we had for 2012. You have to remember that this transaction in which we will be incorporating some of the strategies of Davivienda in these countries. But as for now, our emphasis is on making sure that we have the right controls for the operation, but also start doing some businesses that were outside the internal policy of HSBC, in which we believe there will be opportunity. So we'll see some growth on the portfolios, but at the same time, we don't expect this year to be specifically of high growth in terms of profit.
Okay, thank you. And just to follow up on that $40 million roughly of net income would imply what ROE for the Central American operation?
Our ROE in Central American operations is close to around 6.5%. It still has to go up, and we expect ROE to go up to the market standards in the coming years. It will be a process. That's not something that will happen overnight. But we are coming from 2.5-3% ROEs in the previous year to about 7% for last year.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Araceli Espinosa from Scotiabank.
Good morning. I have two questions. First is to confirm if the ratio of quality in your loan portfolio is after the charge-off in LATAM, in Central America, and because I want to know about the expectation about the quality of the loan portfolio in Central America after this charge-off. And the second question is related to the size of the fixed income portfolio that you increased during the fourth quarter of last year, and what is the impact in the capitalization level? Thank you.
In terms of the quality of the loan portfolio, effectively the results that we showed are the results after the one-time charges, accounting charges for the Colombian standard. So they already include this level of loan provision. In terms of quality for Central America, we expect the quality of Central American operations to maintain basically at the same level They could improve in some of the lines, but overall, we don't expect significant changes for this coming year. In terms of the fixed income portfolio, we increased the portfolio. Part of the increase of the portfolio was due to the fact that we were issuing the securities that we issued in part as to have the capital needed to acquire the acquisitions, but also some of the recent issuances are also dollar-denominated funding that we will be using also to provide some funding to the Central American operations. We see some growth opportunities and also not only growth opportunities, but also opportunities to have a lower cost of funds in these countries by using some of the capacity that Davivienda has in the international market.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, just dial *1 on your touchtone phone now if you do have a question. Our next question comes from Boris Molina from Santander.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. One question, do you have any quantification of what would be the level of extraordinary costs that you would be incurring in your Central American operations during 2013? Just to get an idea of, you know, how the integration effort would be still affecting the results during the year. And when you talk about the convergence of the return equity in Central America towards more market levels in the medium term, what kind of level do you think have in mind that this franchise could achieve in the medium term once you implement your all the plans you have for this franchise?
In terms of extraordinary costs for 2012, we had roughly about 20 billion pesos of extraordinary expenses. For 2013, most of these expenses will come down, but some of them will still be there. A number close to 8 billion pesos will still be needed in terms of additional investments to improve the operation. Some IT investments are needed as well as branding investments. So roughly, that'll be a low number. Probably it'll be higher than that due to the part of the process in which we are now. In terms of ROE for Central America, the ROEs on average for the system in these countries are close to 12-13%. We expect to get up to these levels in about 4 or 5 years. It won't be something that we will achieve in 1 or 2 years. It'll take some time, but our expectation is that we'll get up to those levels of ROEs in the coming years.
Okay, thank you. And if I may, a follow-up question. Just could you just remind us a little bit how is your guidance for 2013 results out of Colombia, excluding Central America, in terms of loan growth and cost growth? And I would say also if you have a guidance for ROE that we could just try to make up our projections for the full year.
I'm not sure I follow your question. Is the question about the loan growth in Colombia as well?
Yes. What type of guidance are you providing for your results in Colombia in 2013? We already there was a lot of uncertainty regarding margins, and the question was previously asked, so that was a big part of our uncertainty. But if you could remind us more or less what you're expecting for the full year in terms of loan growth and cost growth, and if you expect ROEs to remain flat or in Colombia standalone, or we expect an expansion of ROEs in the year.
Let me start by the end with the ROE. With the ROE, we expect ROE to be flat, close to 15% in the 15% area. In terms of growth of the loan portfolios in Colombia, our expectation is around 14-15%. We are seeing these numbers coming down for the system as a whole, and we expect to be in line with the system close to 14-15 percent. In terms of costs, funding costs, we expect them in terms of NIM, we expect to have the same NIM. So actually, the the increase in dollars or in pesos of the financial income will come from growth. It won't be for an improvement in the NIM. But at the same time, we also are expecting to lower our efficiency ratio from 49.5 to close to 48, probably a little bit above 48%.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And everyone, there appear to be no questions in the queue at this time. I would like to turn the floor back over to our speakers for closing remarks.
Okay. Since there is no more questions, I would like to thank everybody to be in this call conference. It's been very important for us to speak with you and to share these different ideas and aspects that we had the chance to speak today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This does conclude our teleconference for the day. You may now disconnect.